بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today when I was returning, I just opened the Malfuzat of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So this is an article of people going for Hajj. In those days, now 100 years ago, Mawlana passed away. 1942, so obviously he's talking of times before that. This is people when they hear about Hajj and they suffer to Hajj, then they get somewhat pareshan, troubled, you know, difficulties that people go through. Says the right thing is, you make your necessary arrangements and assign your affairs to Allah Ta'ala with a firm mind. Dil ko pukhta kar le. You will make your mind firm and thereafter assign your affairs to Allah Ta'ala. Once you have resolved, made your mind firm, and you have assigned your work to Allah Ta'ala, then it's easy to go through all the strides. But if you haven't, then your mind is a little bit uneasy, wavering. What's going to happen? See? So this feeling of what's going to happen creates that uncertainty, and that uncertainty makes you feel uncomfortable. Like last night now, right, was a theft next door somewhere. So now if we apply the same principle, that we will assign our affair to Allah Ta'ala and will be firm, right? Assign your faith to Allah Ta'ala and be firm. Now this is a teaching of Islam as well. See, when this Jalut and Talut story took place, so قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرَ. So the head of the army, he made it known to them that you're going to be tried. See? Tried on what? Tried with a river. You're going to be passing by a river and you'll be parched with thirst. So whoever drinks of the river, then he is not of me. And who drinks of it, he is not of me. And who doesn't drink, then fahuwa minni, then he is with me. Then he'll be able to continue. فَشَرِيبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ مِنْهُ. Now, when they're passing through the river, they were all past thirst. They couldn't resist and they began drinking. Now, when they encounter, this is لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُدِي. We can't face this army here. We don't have the strength to stand up to this army here. Now the question is that why were they tried with this river? Why? What was the reason? The reason, Ulama say, is that when there is a call for fighting, right? And initially, a lot of people stand up, hey, go, let's go. You know, jihad, let's go. So everybody becomes fired up, everybody becomes emotional, you want to go. But at the time of the encounter, then you see the true color of the person. Now say, you know, hey, I'll fish him up, put him in his place, I'll do it. But what is to be seen is how firm you are at the time of the encounter. Right. So So similarly now, you're going to see what's your resolve. You saw that water and you asked not to drink of it. Do you have a resolve, firm resolve? If you have a firm resolve, then inshallah it's an indication that you will be firm there as well. But you don't have a firm resolve here, then you can't be firm there as well. Even Muhammad bin Qasim, when he was sent by his father-in-law, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, for jihad. So he was sent somewhere, the place they call it in that those days, Dabil. Now I know Dabil, where is Malmö, Dabil. Sinme, Dabil, huh? Yeah. So he was sent to that place. And he heard that the Raja there got married to his sister or something. So Muhammad bin Qasim says, we'll march over this person. Now why did he say that we'll just march? And it was true, he just marched over him. He says that when this person doesn't have control over his temptation, then he can't fight. Then he'll be a coward. A man that has control over temptation, then he can stand against any odds. But now you succumb to some temptation and all that, so that means you're not a strong person. See something, you just fall for it. You see something, you fall for it. So you're not a person of firm resolve. So when you have that firm resolve, then you can resist. And then this Muhammad bin Qasim, look at the resolve that he had. He's young, he's sent to conquer India, right? Age of 17, 18. So they offered him all the young girls there. Offered him. So all these are for you. He says, no, we'll present it to the Amir al-Mu'minin in Medina or in Baghdad, wherever they were stationed at the time, and we'll decide from there. He didn't fall for that as well. Imagine he's 17, 18, prime of the youth, and all these beautiful things are all presented before him, and he doesn't fall for them. He's out of home, so not with a wife. He's in jihad. These people themselves are offering. But he doesn't succumb. So at the time of encounter, this is what is required. It's not just your might, it's your firmness. How firm, resolve. One Qadi sahab, so he had the urge to go for Hajj. He had some limited money. Maybe now if you convert it into rands, maybe 200 rands, or maybe less than 200 rands. So he bought one big thela, like a sack, and he bought the staple food of India up to now is chana, chickpea, right? So he got it braised and he filled the chana into the sack. Now he's traveling for Hajj. Now he comes to the port. Perhaps the port at that time was in Karachi somewhere. Two ports, Karachi, and one was in Surat. So there were two ports at that time, talking about 200-300 years ago. So he came to the port. He doesn't have the money. So, see, when a person has got a resolve, then you'll do anything. Well, Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi, he says that when I was about 19 or 20, then there was an urge in me to go for Hajj. So I mentioned it to my father. But you don't have money? So no, I got this about 20 rupees or something, I'm going to go. So anyway, he had the 20 rupees, he moved over to Delhi. So Karisar's father saw that this man is really got the resolve. So he phoned up his friend in Delhi somewhere. They just see the finance, I will sort you out. See to his finance. So we need to see that the person is got that resolve, or he's just playing around, just trying to experiment here. What is he doing? He says, Allah like this, Inna Zalika min Azmil Umur. you are really firm about it, strong about it. You're not just kidding around. You can get a student say, no, I'll stay here in the madrasa, I won't go home for 5 weeks. But then he'll come, say, after 1 week, you know, but my mother is missing me. So that means he didn't have a resolve. He had to just have, he knew now, if he's going to stay here, the mother's going to phone. When the mother's going to phone, they'll mention it, and I'll say, no, no, your mother's calling you, brother, go. So it is already planned out. So we understand now this person doesn't have a resolve. He's coming in without any resolve. Doesn't have a resolve, so it's not going to work out. So what is life? Allah Ta'ala, is this resolve, strong, that mind, this resolve. Inna thalika, faspir kama sabara ulul azm. Is it? Sabr doesn't really mean that someone did something unpleasant to you and you held back. No. Sabr also means to be firm, to be constant. So when these people went against Talut, the 2 hours, أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Pour sabr upon us, that be steadfast in the face of the enemy. It mustn't be now we're marching and we seem to be steadfast, but when we come to the encounter, then we lose. It mustn't be like that. At that time, we need that firm resolve. Allah likes this resolve. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنَ أَزْمِ فَاسْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُّ الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. You also be constant like the Rasools of the past. So these situations may come up. In Jamaat, they say halat, trials, right? Jamaat got some own istilahat. What's the istilahat? Halat means trials. Many times halat. Unki upar kuch halat aa gaye. What do you mean? Some trials. Some difficulties. He went through some difficulties. The most abused word in the Jamaat is taqaza. He says, Bashwara carry on. So he'll take his phone, I got a taqaza. So what is the taqaza? The wife said that, you know, you're coming, you went overboard, so when you're returning, just buy the nag from there. So that's a taqaza. See, so some of the istilahat, you need to know the istilahat. You can't just carry on like that. So this karisab is going, it's moving. He's made the resolve. Well, I'm going to go, no matter. Come what, I'm going to go. Now he's come there, and the captain of the ship, an Englishman, he's finding it difficult to refuse on the board, because he doesn't have the money. But when he looks at his face and all that, such a pious person, the Nurani face he's got, and to turn him down doesn't seem to be the right thing. Now, if he himself says, walks away, it's easy for me. But for me to tell him, hey, you know, I can't take you on board, it's going to be a little bit difficult. Let's hope he himself says, you know, I don't have the money, and I'll go back. So the Karisab stood there, and as he stood there, so now the captain is trying to do ta'liq bil mahal, subject him to something that is impossible for him to do. He said, no, alright, so I don't look like the bad person turning this pious person down. I mustn't look like that. So now, what can I do to turn him down with a little bit of nobility? He said, you know what, you've got some work on the ship, but I don't think you would be able to manage it. The work is about cleaning the toilets. Right? Now, in India, cleaning the toilets is the work of a chamar, right? Chamar, bangi, the lowest. And nobody wants to do that job. That job nobody wants to do. So, you got that work, and the work that is attached to that is to carry the big trunks of the hadith onto the ship and lay them out. Karisa said, no, I'll do it. Now, that English captain had no reason to turn him down. So, I've shown the trunks. You know, someone went to Hajj, went on Hajj before 80s, right? You'll understand. People coming from India for Hajj come with big, big trunks because they're coming on Hajj. They're going to be staying there that time now, 4 months, 5 months at a time. So all their lentils, their rice, chana, all that they'll take with. So all this is quite heavy, 50 kilos, 60 kilos, 70 kilos. And the Qari Sahib is a small little man, small man, thin. But he's got the resolve, hey, I'm going to go, inshallah. With the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I must make it. But you see now this determination, Allah Ta'ala likes that. Resolve, firmness, stand. In jihad, what is like? That resolve. You know, I was looking at tafsir. لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Don't throw your hands into destruction. So they gave about 2-3 tafsirs. One is the famous Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. He says this verse was revealed for us. لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Don't put yourself into destruction. Don't throw your hands into destruction. Don't throw yourself into destruction. Because it was at a time where Islam was prospering. We were gaining territory after territory. It's gaining. And then we Ansar thought, you know, Islam is quite strong now. And it will prosper, it will continue. So let us attend to our business and to our farms, etc. This is already sorted out. Let's sort out this thing here. So at that time, this verse was revealed, لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. That means, not striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala and being too concerned about your business and material, that is the destruction of a Muslim. But you thought now looking after the farm and business is your prosperity and your sustainability. That is not like that. Rather, you not striving and working sincerely, properly for Islam, that's your destruction, that's your ruin. There's another tafsir that says, person spends in charitable avenues, but he destroys the rights of his dependents. So I saw a charitable avenue, I spent there, but I got wife and children, and I didn't see to the basic needs. So this is a second meaning, لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. You're throwing yourself into destruction. This was دِيَاءُ مَنْ يَقُوت. See, دِيَاءُ مَنْ يَقُوت. It's destruction, destroying the right of the person that is dependent on you. And they gave a third tafsir. The third tafsir is when you are in jihad now, and you know it's 1,000 strong, and you won out, ace out. But you being ace out, you taking them on, you know you won't make any type of you won't dent them at all, and you'll be killed in seconds. They'll kill you, and you're still taking them on. You know you're not going to hurt them in the least, and they're going to shoot you down straight, but you still take them on. So now this is the meaning of, so this is the third explanation. Now, Abu Dawud said this hadith. The hadith says now, Mujahid is left alone in the battlefield. He's all alone. And all the odds against him. His satis have all fled, right? So he's all alone. And he knows his responsibility. Right. Ma alayhi, that's the word. So he knows his responsibility, and understanding his responsibility, he takes them on. Right. So Allah says, Allah is so pleased with him, yadhaku alayhi. Allah actually is too pleased with that person. Very much pleased with that person. So apparently it shows that it is permissible to take them on even in that type of circumstance. See the resolve. What I'm talking about is resolve. Under any circumstance, just be firm, strong. Put your mind. And how you get that firmness is you keep saying, I assign my effort to Allah Ta'ala. Before we do amri ila Allah. Those thoughts will come, all the terrible negative thought, this type of thought, that type of thought will come. But you keep saying, I assign the affair to Allah Ta'ala. See? So that gives you mental stability, it keeps you firm, and it avoids a lot of negativity. See? So this, the freeze. In the past, people had this. See, down that road, they call it ditching road. Right? I don't know, they taught us in school, I think maybe grade 1, grade 2, ditching went to Grahamstown in 10 days. Grahamstown is Cape Town, isn't it? Yeah? So how he went all alone on horseback, how he has made it. So that time, the trust must be greater in Allah. Even in a kafir, he must have had trust in Allah. So he could have made it right till there, 10 days, all pace out. Yeah, I ask you to stay in the madrasa all alone, nobody with you. I think jihad will come from every corner. From the top, from the bottom, from the... everywhere will spring up. So, there's no determination, no resolve. No resolve. So this Qari Sahib is seeing all those trunks and he knows he can't manage it. But he went up to the trunk and he says Bismillah, and in his mind he's crying to Allah, 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 I have come to this point. From this point onwards, now it is you that will manage it. What was humanly possible, I did. This is now practically not humanly possible. When it's not humanly possible, I leave it to you. And with ease, he just picked the trunk. He set it up. Now he's boarded the ship now. The captain now couldn't refuse him because there were two duties that were assigned: clean the toilets and set the trunks. So as he's boarded the ship, so he would have a different pair of clothes for the toilets. Now in the ship, the toilet is but in a state, right? Quite a state it is. Like how you get a public toilet, you don't get it so clean. One is the airport, that's the only thing we've seen. But look at a John Doe or something, and see the state of the toilet, how it is, how the public toilets are there. So in the ship it is there. Kanisa would take out his clothes, he had one set of clothes, but just a lungi, and he would clean the toilets. Thereafter, when he's cleaned it, he would have a bath, put on his normal clothes, and then stand up for tahajjud. That was his routine. Now, this captain already had taken a liking for him. Something that is strange in him. This is attracting him. See this resolve, I'm talking of resolve. See, at the time of Dajjal, then one of Nabi Sam's advice also remain firm. Because the attractions are going to be too much of attractions. And sometimes I think to myself that we can't resist WhatsApp and there's movies and all that. Small, something comes up, see it again. You can't resist. And the attraction is so much that we got the phone switched on at the time of namaz, so that any message comes, that message is being received. So you don't want to say that message, hey, you just shut off now. Now it's time that I've given entirely to Allah Ta'ala. I don't want anything of you. See the attraction. So this attraction, that's a dangerous thing, the mind. Mind, to discipline the mind, that's a very important thing in this day. Mental discipline. People sometimes feel the rosa, right? And the easy way in the rosa is not to look at the time. Easy way to get the rosa done nicely, don't look at the time. It's to get 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, when the deal is going to turn. So that thing will stretch now. It will be very difficult. But don't look at the time, get into work. Hey, what is the iftar time? So you don't know how the time has passed. So that applies to roza It applies to the weather as well. Hey, it's so cold now. What are we going to do? It's raining. It's so hot now. Hey, how are we going to manage here? But you don't pay attention how hot and how cold and all that. And you carry on the work. And you manage the work very easily. But the moment you put your mind to the weather, to the time, and you think, hey, how am I going to manage this? How am I going to manage this? How? That thing becomes like a monster for you. So in all these things, what is required is a mental discipline. What I'm saying, resolve. Mental discipline is very, very important. Very important. When this 47 troubles took place in India, so Nizamuddin was under attack at the time. So now, the Shaykh, Yusuf Rahmatullah, all were locked in. They can't move. And they can't move now. Someone had to buy the essentials. So one Mewati, he said, no, I'll do it. So he went. At the heart of all the trouble, he bought all the greens, whatever was supposed to purchase. And en route, some Sikhs or someone staring at him. They're wondering now, hey, in the heart of all this, this one person here, one loner, how he managed to do it? So, when they spoke to him, he said, no, I got something, but I'll fix you people up, I got something. What is it? Why must I share it with you? Anyway, he gave the report to the Shaykh Ramtale. He said, you know what? This is what happened. So, Shaykh asked him, what you got? He said, oh, what you taught me? Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'uzu bika min shururihim. See that. So, with what determination and what resolve, what conviction he must have been reading it, okay, those people also got shaken up. See this, resolve. Do it and do it with resolve. And I say, you will get it when you say, I leave it to you. Keep saying it verbally, mentally, I assign my effort to you. I assign my effort to you. Not only at the time of difficulty, even at the time of prosperity. Difficulty is easy to say, Labak, I assign it to you. But at the time of prosperity, then too you need to say, Labak, I assign my effort to you. Things are working out. Right? Everything is just, you're just flying. Right? Now, they're sending you in Jamaat, for example, right? And they're sending you to, there's about five places. There's takazas that came from five places. Malawi, then America, then Hijaz, then Australia, and then England, for example. Right. Nafs is saying, you know, you go Hijaz, Umrah also one time. After all, you're the Puranas, you know. When you're a Karkun and you're a Purana, so they must see you favorably. Now, at that time, time of prosperity also, Allah, I leave it to you. Allah, I leave it to you. You choose me. When a time of happiness, then to you, leaving it to Allah Ta'ala. Time of difficulty, then to you, you are assigning your affair to Allah Ta'ala. Not, you can't be selective. Only when things are rosy, then you give it to Allah Ta'ala. When in difficulty, then you see. So you see this Karisab and he's carrying on. So he does everything. And everything is clean, 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 or spotless. Then he's standing, he made ghusl, put his other clothing, clean clothing, and he's reciting Quran Sharif. Now, this English man, it was the first time that he had learned, he had heard the Quran Sharif. And he had to hear it from this Qari Sahib, like a buzuruk he is like. And with his melodious voice, you know, first time in his life listening to Quran Sharif, melody. Now that was too much for him. Quran Sharif, it's got that magnetic effect. Person's mind is clean, though he's not a Muslim, but his mind is clean, it must have its effect. In fact, I would say, even your mind is not right, then to the Quran Sharif will have an effect. See this, Abu Jahl, Akhnas bin Shuraik, they would listen to the Quran all night. They can't resist. Next night come again, they took the corners down, they concealed from others, that their own bodies may not see them, but they trick the corners, they want to listen to the Quran Sharif. So it's got that effect. He got that, he heard the Quran Sharif. Can't resist. You know, atheists, when they listen to Quran Sharif, uncontrollably they are crying. But they don't believe in Allah Ta'ala. But then what's making them cry? See, it's Quran Sharif, it's the word of Allah Ta'ala. It's got its own effect. Are you hearing it? Are you hearing it from this type of a person? Muttaqi, Qarisa, Azroob. Are you listening from him? Can you imagine now what's in the middle of the night, Tahajjud time? You're listening at the recitation of this person that time. So what an effect it has. So anyway, by the morning it was too much for him. So by the morning, that Englishman is telling the Qari Sahib, what have you been reading? Quran Sharif. So I want to read it as well. You can't read. You're not Pak. Qari Sahib was straight also, you're not Pak. So no, I'm Pak every day, I'm about three times, 2 days. No. That Pak is a different Pak. This Pak is about Iman. He said, what is Iman? He said, Kalima, la ilaha illa. Now the whole ship, the whole day reading, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illa. Meanwhile, now that safar has been complete. As the safar is complete, this person announced his Iman. But he caught the taste of Iman. Iza khalatat bashashatuhu al-qulub. When the sweetness has penetrated the heart, then the person doesn't turn apostate. Apostate is that person who's still in the process, but he's got the sweetness, he's got the taste, now he doesn't turn. Now, when his people got to know that he's turned, so his wife left him. You want to go, you carry on. You are going to turn me. I'm going to be firm on this. He did his dhaj. Now, on the return, as he's going back wherever he came from, when he was en route to Hajj, so a dog had seen him, and the dog accompanied him. You'll get the stories, you know, where a group of pious or a pious person, and then some dog just follows him, right? Perhaps Allah assigned that thing to take care of the person. So this dog had accompanied him, and Andrew, that thing died. So he dug a hole and he pushed it inside and he carried on. That was when he was going for Hajj. Now on the return, when he's coming on the return, now that became a mazak. People have washed the thing. What happened here now? Hey. This was a companion, a dog after all. And what have they done here now? But what I'm showing you is this resolve. This is what we're lacking. And there's two things that will inshallah, the grace of Allah, will build resolve. One is you keep saying, before we do amri ilallah, I assign you took your necessary arrangements you have done, but with that you say, I entrust, I assign everything to Allah Ta'ala. I give myself up, I entrust, I assign my things to Allah Ta'ala. No matter how difficult the situation is, but keep saying that. Right? That's one thing. And number two is, we resist, right? We resist things that are not right, temptations, or things that are not appropriate, then we resist you. See, now life has come like such that the little resistance that people had, that also is correct. See? So now you receive some message, right? Straight away over the phone, straight away you are replying straight away, right? So you can't even resist. Wait for a time, wait for a day, 2 days, think now what he said, must I reply, doesn't it require reply, he spoke to me impolitely, aggressively, I must fire him back. So straight away you knock at him. See, before it was that you write a letter, right? So the you are writing also on ink. So you have to fill that ink into the fountain pen, then write, that ink finishes up, again refill that ink, right? Then you are writing. So as you are writing with the hand, you have time now to think, am I writing the right thing? Must I scratch this out? Is this right? Not right? Right. Then after the letter is complete, still, you still got time to think about it. Then you're looking for an envelope, you're looking for a stamp. Then you're going to the post office and route it, you know, I think I made a mistake. So it takes a process. Before the thing is put into the post box, it's at least about a day, right? So much of time you've got to think about it, understand, should I, shouldn't I, is it worded right, not worded right. So there's a lot of care, this meticulous care, resistance, everything that goes into the letter. Now, thought comes into your mind, you just fire up without thinking, etc. Then when the damage is done, now it's about damage control. How much you control the amount you do now. And you don't want to hurt your pride. Your pride is also coming in the way. But why does people have to behave like this with me? So your pride has also got its share in the whole thing. Now, will you complicate matters, or you'll bring some solution to matters? See, this original life was slow-paced. Slowly going, you want a time to think, understand, reflect, and then take a step. But now, it's a life of gobble and go. I don't think the children enjoy the food also nowadays. Because they're eating patties, or they're eating that, what they call it? Burger, yeah. They're eating burgers and all that, right? Sometimes you see the boy eating that burger, right? They've got a double burger. Like he's in a dentist. You know, a dentist surgery, the doctor will tell you, open your mouth even more. Open it. Looks funny, very funny then. So big mouth. Because the burger is so fat. And you have to open a big mouth to get that thing right. It's not natural. It's all unnatural. What we're living now is an unnatural life. We come back to simplicity, simple foods, easy foods. It's good for your system, good for your health, good for your mind, and good for your relationship with people. But now we move away from that into all this type of fast food, fancy things, and we think we're doing good for ourselves. It only appears to be good. The thing looks good, but it's not good really. So that little opportunities we had to build resolve, to build our determination, that also is cracking. So when we are confronted with a situation, we don't have the resistance, we don't have the strength. That's the need. Let's say there's two things what we need to do now. One is to say that, Ufawwidu amri ila Allah. Allah, I assign my affairs to you. And the second thing is to resist. Some things may be of a permissible nature, some things of an impermissible nature. Even the things that is permissible, it doesn't mean it's permissible, I must eat it. Every permissible thing I must enjoy, no, it doesn't mean that. I must resist. Right? And that resistance brings about good. Now, child has got a tooth problem, and he can't resist the sweet. Night time he's got a problem. So where the problem comes from? Resistance. So he's got the resistance, he doesn't have a problem. He's looking for the night. So this, he has an enjoyable night. But now the father can't resist, the child can't resist. Now you've got a problem. Where is coming from? Resistance. Right. So that is why Yusuf al-Islam, at the end of his whole ordeal, he says, إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا إِنَّهُ مَيَّتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرُ إِنَّهُ مَيَّتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرُ. And in Badr also, بَلَا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. See, بَلَا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. So same thing what I'm talking about. One is resolve, and one is to resist. So resistance sometimes, or most of the times, impermissible things, but sometimes it's a thing of a permissible nature, but just hold back. Don't just go get into every permissible thing. Anything permissible, I just want to jump onto it. Anything permissible, I want to jump onto it. And then sometimes you can't maintain it, you can't sustain that lifestyle. Now it's become an addiction and you can't sustain the thing. How are you going to continue? See, you know, this thing at the beginning, cigarettes were not, couldn't sell cigarettes, right? And the story was that people are buying cigarettes, one, you know, that carton, for over 1,000 rands. One loose for over 10 rands. But you see now the resistance. No resistance. Allah Akbar.